Well, good morning. We think we're on the air. And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We think we are this morning. We don't know if we're on or not.
I'm here. You're here. I don't know if our listeners are with us here, though.
Let me call Todd up real quick and see if you know, are we live?
Well, while he's checking on that right now, since we may have live audio, which I hope we do. I think we do. We probably have live audio. Mm-hmm. Be sure you guys are checking out the Fit Food Product of the Week. Last day of Product of the Week. It actually changes today, but it'll be changing later on this afternoon. I like to do it in the afternoon. Give everybody the option to basically pick up a few cans on sale for 12% off the last day. And you guys voted, and it won. We've got the collagen formula going on sales Product of the Week later on this afternoon. So you guys will be enjoying that. And be sure to check out a lot of the other specials, including the bestseller and protocol kits that we put together on there. A lot of time, and, you know, sometimes I get emails from multiple customers. If I know I have everybody on the same page, sometimes I'll put together a specific kit or protocol or something that people are using they like the results of together. I'll throw them together and put something fun, because I know a lot of times it's easier when you can just buy a protocol kit.
We have audio only, but we are on live audio.
I figured we were.
So just pretend like we're actually moving up here.
So we're frozen on the screen?
Yeah, we're frozen on the screen. Let me call up Michael.
Playing freeze tag. That's fine. Well, I got a bunch of articles. We're still here for you guys as I'm making a Fit Food shake with my multiple powder and a can, a scoop of my purple stick.
Are you going to tell them what we're doing now so they can pretend like they're watching?
Well, I pick up my creatine and take three capsules.
I just got a text out of Europe that our picture is frozen.
So everybody says we're frozen today. You know what? It could be. It could be it got so cold in Florida, the internet froze. The coaxials froze outside. So we're only getting audio only, no visual, which is not a big deal. We're here with you guys all the time. Or we can run tape.
No, we'll do audio only. I got a bunch of stories to cover.
I got a bunch of stuff to cover today.
Let me call up Michael Barrett, see if there's anything we do to fix this. See what he says.
Hope you guys are having a good morning.
Well, they can't see that I'm talking on the phone right now, so this is kind of fun anyhow.
They wouldn't even know if you wouldn't have told them.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known. They wouldn't know. Let's see what Mike says.
Let's pull the mic away. Hey, watch the mic.
Oh, so do you think the video will be okay? It'll actually play?
We're here.
Okay.
Stand by with us, guys. We're having technical difficulties right now.
Oh. Let's do it. Thanks, bye. We're live. We're doing an audio show. We did this for years anyhow.
Audio only?
Yeah. Let's start over. Ready? Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research on a frozen screen.
Yeah, so we're audio only today.
I'm getting texts out of Germany. You're frozen. So we're here.
We're audio show.
Yeah,
but we'll edit it. Make sure.
By the way, I want to cover this real quick, and this is kind of important. You know, we had Marriott, basically one of their hotel brands, file bankruptcy yesterday. So for you guys that are there, it's called Sonder, S-O-N-D-E-R. And this is a big deal to me because I'm a Marriott member, and Sonder suddenly collapsed into bankruptcy this week, and Marriott basically kicked them all out.
Mid-afternoon.
And all the people are being thrown out of the hotel rooms. Now, be careful with this now, because, you know, Marriott's got over 9,000 hotels now. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And they added Sonder last year, a couple years ago, whenever it was.
That was a mistake,
like
apparently.
Bed and breakfast or like a whatever, Airbnb. And so it is no more. So if you have Sonder reservations with Marriott, just a heads up. I'd reschedule that if I were you and try to get your money back the best you possibly can. Hopefully you did it on points so you get a refund through Marriott. And another thing, Dame Whittington was on with Tucker Carlson. And he actually went into detail on Tucker Carlson's show about chemtrails and geoengineering.
Oh, yeah.
No, this is a big deal. We know Dane. Dane's been on our show many, many times, and he's now saying on Tucker Carlson, the U.S. military is accused of secret climate spraying operation, dumping 60 million tons of toxic nanoparticles into the skies. 60 million tons. The U.S. military has been accused of spraying toxic chemicals. They don't know what to do now because Tucker Carlson has come off the chain. Yeah. You know, when he was with Fox, he was still on the chain. And then he got off the chain. He started saying things he shouldn't ought to say, and suddenly he basically woke up. Glenn Beck had the same thing happen to him. Glenn Beck started talking about central banks, and immediately he was taken off the air. But Glenn Beck has never awakened to what's really going on the planet, and Tucker Carlson has. Oh, that's why they're saying he's the number one anti-Semite in the country now, which I think is funny. And because I mean, he'd be in a good run there with Kanye West, or you know, or
well, the thing about it is, this is always what the argument
Candace
is.
Owens.
Anytime you disagree with what they're doing, you're automatically branded anti-Semitic. That's how it's always gone. That's always worked. If somebody doesn't agree with you and you have no rebuttal, you have no legitimate rebuttal for your behavior,
you're now an anti-Semite.
Right. It goes with anything. That's the same concept, the spooks mantra: admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. You can't actually have a rebuttal and say, well, no, this is why I'm doing this for this specific reason. You go, no, you're anti-Semitic because you're questioning why I've killed 80,000 people in Gaza. Anti-Semitic. You can't ask me that.
How dare you say that?
You don't even rebuttal it.
And we know, we covered in detail how these Jewish people run the porn industry.
Oh, yeah.
They have for decades. And now a new report shows children as young as 6 are exposed to porn through social media.
Oh, yeah. So, that's why I warn everybody about kids.
So here's the problem. When you get on national TV like you did the other day, this Jewish guy who owns one of these porn hub things, and basically started bragging about how everybody needs to be watching this stuff, and now all of a sudden we find out 6-year-olds are watching it, it kind of gets resentment going towards Jews.
Yeah.
Let's be real,
especially
here,
when they own the entire industry.
That's right. And as all of a sudden you go, well, the Jews are doing this, and they're basically subverting the culture and destroying the brains of our 6-year-old children, but yet it's okay. You can't say that, or you're an anti-Semite. And yet it's unbelievable. It says kids are now seeing pornography on adult life through social media platforms, with over half exposed accidentally. It's not accidentally, by the way, revealing a systematic failure to protect them from degenerate porn. The report is among one of the most sobering my office has ever published. Dame Rachel D'Souza, the UK's children commissioner, wrote in the opening paragraph of a recent government study. It paints a stark picture of what children look like in 2025, with online world in many ways completely unfit for children. The report is entitled "Sex is Kind of Broken Now: Children and Pornography," and is yet another devastating indictment of socially profound shaped by the porn industry and permitted by adults who value sexual liberation over health, innocence, and the safety of children. This is almost hard to believe, isn't it? You know, and then we go forward and we go one more notch and we start talking about what's really going on up in Washington, D.C. And this is a great article by Rob Dreher. And I'm going to report it. It's kind of a pretty balanced article. And it says, "What I Saw and Heard in Washington, D.C. And he starts talking about, he was hanging out with the vice president, meeting all these different people. And then he starts talking about how Nick Fuentes has been basically being followed by all of these young Republicans, and how about half of them now have become anti-Semites.
Gosh.
Well, now, you know, I'm not trying to say, but here he says, "Well, they do want to burn it all down, I was told, and I came away with a feeling that they're not only tenuously dedicated to Democratic politics. I told one very smart and decent Zoomer con," who they call the baby boomers now, they're not the baby boomers, the young ones, "who despises the anti-Semitic turn of the circles that I have been hearing, that fascism, actual ideological fascism, not only the media's idea of anybody to the right of Lindsey Graham, is gaining traction among young white British males." So, you know, he says, "What's wrong with fascism?" And he goes into detail. I want you guys to read this article. It's very, very balanced, but it's very interesting, because he was shocked that so many of these people follow Fuentes. And he goes, now, he says in the article, "What about the Jews? This to me remains the most puzzling and sinister thing. Douglas Murray gave a talk over the weekend at PragerU event in which he reflected on the fact that lots of young conservatives noticed that liberal secular Jews are disproportionately involved in organizations pushing mass migration and draw anti-Semitic conclusions. Murray pointed out accurately that in Europe, by far, the most prominent and influential advocates for open borders are the current Pope and the previous one. If you blame Catholics for the problem, why then do they all blame Jews?" And so this article goes into detail about what the Jews have stood for and what they've done. And it says, "Why are the Jews so dominant in finance? They have been for centuries, because in Catholic Europe, Jews were not subject to anti-user restrictions that were on Catholics. So they became bankers because the profession that was open to them isn't largely open to Christians." And so it goes into detail on this, and it tries to balance out all of this basically Jew hate all over the world now, and they're going into detail about why we shouldn't be this way and why we should be this way. It was interesting.
Let me take a step back on this. Let's clarify this for a second. A large percentage of people that are discussing these topics don't hate Jews.
No.
I don't hate anyone. I really try not to. I try to actually love everyone. However, I will call BS out for BS. straight up. If somebody's doing something unbelievably manipulative and stupid and gaslighting me, and I know for a fact it's a lie, I'm going to call you out for it being a lie. I'm going to say, no, you're full of crap. You're lying to everybody. You're manipulating everybody. You're gaslighting everybody. I don't appreciate it, and nobody else appreciates it. And that's the difference that's happening right now, is they have to try to spin the narrative because they know what they're doing manipulating the markets. They know what they're doing manipulating the media. They know what they're doing manipulating the entire FBI with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Everybody in the military that I know that's contractors, everybody knows that Mossad killed Charlie Kirk. It is a 100% undeniable fact. Nobody even questions any other narrative, period. Everybody's told me the exact same thing from different individuals in different past and different military backgrounds. They all said the exact same thing. So then you reach a point where you go, okay, if we know this is going on, we know there's these weird things happening, we know we're being lied to, we know we're being manipulated, is it really hate when you call somebody out for doing something and saying, I don't like this, I don't agree with it? And the answer is no, it's not.
Well, what happens is there's a small percentage of Jews that are involved with this. The very liberal ones, primarily Shabbat Lubavitch.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are really pushing this narrative because they are the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan. And they're the ones that are pushing the whole narrative with Israel, with Gaza, with all the rest. A lot of the Jews that are basically conservative, they don't want to be in Gaza. They don't want this happening again because they realize it's going to create anti-Semitism against
the
Jews.
That's exactly right.
And so they're against it. But when you have the group of people that are being controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, which controls pretty much every central bank in the world, you know, except for Iran and North Korea, they realize very quickly that they're the ones who control the money supply.
Does Venezuela have a central reserve bank?
Well, they primarily use American currency down there.
Okay.
And that's why they had a big problem with what happened when they constricted the amount of currency they could have. They didn't have operating capital to run the refineries.
Yeah.
And so it's a big mess. But the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, again, they want to control Venezuela because it's the number one oil, has the largest oil reserves in the world.
Oh, switching gears down here. I want to cover this in Florida because this is something that's happening now, and I want people to be aware of it. You know, there was an incident, a horrific incident, happened in Ybor a couple of nights ago.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, so there was a guy that was a 22-year-old, and he was on 275, and he was street racing another car. And Tampa PD tried to initiate a traffic stop. He fled. He fled off an exit. And then Florida Highway Patrol picked up the pursuit. And
oh, I heard about this.
Ran him all the way down into 7th and Nebraska. Now, this guy is getting charged with 4 counts of vehicular homicide. He killed 4 people. Ended up losing the car, ran into pedestrians. I think like 12 or 13 people hospitalized. It was an absolute horrific incident. And he needs to go to prison. What he did, what had happened, and he was doing it. However, what the media is trying to ask, though, and I'll give him credit, this in Tampa, they're saying, we're starting to see more deaths and more pedestrian deaths in the last year now that FHP has gotten so aggressive.
They're feral.
Yes, they've gone feral. Every single law enforcement agent that I've talked to now is not happy with the way FHP is handling everything. They have pretty much a weapons-free approach. They can chase and pursue as long as they want, to any speed they want, and in any area they want, without any oversight.
Well, you know, we talked about this a month ago. We said sooner or later they're going to kill somebody.
I literally talked to one of my best friends who's a Polk County Sheriff officer. He's a lieutenant now, been in there for years, and he flat out told me, because there's an incident happened right down the street from my road where FHP took a pursuit all the way into downtown Auburndale around the lake doing 100 miles an hour. They wrecked the guy a quarter mile from my house where there's 3 stop signs.
What you talking about?
Wrecked him. I have the video of it. There's like 8 cops out there. And my buddy's sheriff.
Over in Osceola.
Yeah, my buddy's sheriff said, they're going to start getting people killed with this behavior. He goes, it's one thing. He goes, the only, like, Polk County Sheriff, Auburndale PD, Tampa PD, the only way they will do a hot pursuit is if the person has been involved in an aggravated violent felony, where they've shot somebody, they stabbed somebody,
robbed the bank,
where they have proven that they have zero regard for human life. Mm-hmm. They are going to try to kill somebody else. That is in their behavior pattern. He goes, we don't chase people through residential neighborhoods because they didn't do a traffic stop because we tried to push them over. He goes, we just pulled the helicopter out. We didn't have their tag number. We just issued a warrant for them. We go arrest them. Cool. Okay, whatever. FHP now doesn't have that same mentality, and they chased them all the way into 7th and Nebraska, right in downtown. And they said, well, and then we backed off the pursuit. We stopped trying to pit maneuver him, and we backed out of the pursuit once he got around pedestrians. You're in a 100-mile-an-hour pursuit in a pedestrian area, and you've been to Ybor all the time. It's all everybody just walks down there. Everybody walks everywhere.
Everybody's on the street walking.
Everybody's on the street walking. And so this is something that really needs to be addressed with legislators and FHP. They have their entire their entire protocol changed last year, where they've been pretty much given the ability to do anything they want, and they act like they're on the interstate everywhere they go now.
Well, here's the problem that I have. There's situational cameras and viewing cameras everywhere. Anybody could easily pick up a tag from a car going by, and they can, like you said, issue a warrant for the car or whatever. They don't have to chase people. And I think the same rules should apply to FHP. You can't go more than 30 miles an hour over the speed limit.
There you go.
If it applies to us.
That's actually a valid point.
Yeah.
If rules for thee and not for thee is not applicable here.
Yeah.
If it starts going over 100 miles an hour, why is FHP pursuing people 160, 170?
I was on the interstate yesterday. Some Camaro came around me about 120 miles an hour, a white one. And it wasn't a hopped up, but it was basically a little V6, but he was cranking on that thing, boy. And I thought to myself, okay, where are the rules for thee and not for me? What is going on here? I'm being careful now, like paranoid all the time, not to go over anything, so I don't want to get arrested and dragged off
to jail. Well, they would. If they bust him, they could take him to jail with the
super speed. But they never caught him. He just kept going.
Well, yeah, but that's on his side, though. But like you said, though, if FHP doesn't have to abide by any rules at all, then why does everybody else have to have the same enforcement done upon them?
Just issue a warrant for the car. It'd go and pound the vehicle. Go whatever. The problem they're going to have, though, is unless they can get a facial recognition camera, if the windshields aren't tinted, they won't know who was driving the car.
Yeah.
But they can still impound the car.
But how did it work out for this guy? This guy was unhinged. Now he drove and killed four people and never going to be alive again. And people say, well, it's not FHP's fault. It's this guy's fault because he did it. You're 100% right. This guy chose behavior that was degenerate and ended up killing people because he decided he wanted to drive like that. However, would he have been driving like that if FHP wouldn't have been pursuing him? That's the 50-50 coin flip that happens here, that you have to ask the question. Once law enforcement starts going to a point where they have no rules of engagement and they do anything they want, it's just something that I was curious about, that I wanted to bring up and let everybody aware of that. Because I'm curious for your take. You guys got my contact form. Send me emails on that if you're down here in Florida, and let me know what you think about a lot of these new rules for law enforcement. Also, other story here now. This is interesting. Goldman – I'll put the screen on – Goldman flags big problem for cruises in the Caribbean now. Cruise lines, they said, he's noted, has not been this negative sentiment in a while. He said plans of aggressive expansion risk backfiring. Cruise lines are flooding the Caribbean, and essentially sales are starting to drop, prices are starting to drop, profits are starting to drop. And I'm going to address this, though. This isn't just because the market's getting saturated. Almost every week we have another article like this. Norwegian Cruise Line issues health warning to passengers over bacterial disease. This is from 3 days ago. Two passengers were diagnosed with Legionnaire's disease while on board.
No, the last time.
2 weeks ago, there was another one, like 100 people got Novavirus.
No, we had that on the cruise ship the cruise from hell that I went on with Holland America. I mean, you know, we had dead bodies being pulled off by the CDC. We got into Miami. I mean, food all over the tables. You know,
that's the problem. The market's gotten so saturated with all these cruise ships now, and then they have these ones that are like these budget Bobo Carnival cruise. I'm going on a 3-day cruise for $99. You bring all the dregs of society. I'm just being honest with you. You bring the dregs of society on these cruises. They don't take care of anything. They have no respect for anything. They're constantly getting arrested. They're constantly getting kicked off. And this is something that really bothered me because I have a daughter. Carnival cruise passenger dies on board, identified as high school 18-year-old cheerleader Anna Kepner from basically Ocala. And she died.
How'd she die?
They're not releasing it.
Oh.
There's a full FBI investigation now into this.
Oh, God. I hope she wouldn't. Well, yeah.
I'm not going to speculate out of respect for her and the family. The family has asked that people stop speculating, and I'll give them that respect. But all I'm going to say is here, the FBI is doing a full investigation into it now.
Well, a lot of times these crew members will sell drugs to the passengers.
Yep.
All kinds of things happen like that.
And be very careful if you're going on a cruise with kids, because you have no idea the level of pedophiles that are more than likely on some of these cheap cruise ships.
Well, I remember one time we were on a Holland American cruise, which I don't recommend Holland American at all. And I remember, though, the person who was doing the cabin asked me about some stuff like drugs.
Really?
Yeah. And I reported them immediately.
Yeah.
They were the next port of call. They were off the boat.
Well, to my knowledge, most of the cruise ships have pretty heavy restrictions on this stuff.
Oh,
they find out, they kick you off. But however, at the end of the day,
They threw them off.
Yeah. But again, at the end of the day, the FBI has involved this now, so I don't know what as far as what happened with it, but my condolences to the family. This girl's 18 years old. She just got out of high school. She was going to be getting recruited in the military. There's no reports on it. But these cruise ships now, you don't know who. This is my opinion. This is my recommendation. If you have the inclination, you have to go on a cruise, wait the extra year, save the extra money, spend the extra cash, get a higher-end cruise ship that's going to be a nicer cruise ship.
And get a cabin that has open windows.
Get one with a balcony. I will not go on a balcony or a cruise without a balcony, ever.
Well, because you got fresh air.
And you can watch the documentary on the Poop Cruise. The Poop Cruise, that's the videos for, they made a video, it's called The Poop Cruise. And it's the cruise ship that got stuck in the Gulf that burned up all the engines, and they were stuck out there for 7 days with no food, no water, no power. They had tugboats going out there bringing them MREs, and everybody's sleeping out on the deck. And
the stench.
The stench. There's overflowing sewage all over the boat. So,
well, I mean, we had projectile vomiting on that Holland America ship. It was horrible. I wrote an article. You can read it on the website.
Yeah.
It's basically called the potential death ship. Don't sail it.
So when Goldman Sachs says cruise sentiment hasn't been this negative in a while, there's a reason why. A lot of people are sick of it, especially these really cheap Bobo cruise ships that are making it bad for the rest of everybody else's reputation.
Rich, are our cameras working again? Are we moving on the screen, or are we still frozen? Are we moving? We're still frozen. Well, keep the cameras.
I'll put it on.
Okay. Anyways, I see all the little lights working. That's working great. Oh, by the way, speaking of children and everything else, Epstein now has claimed that Trump spent hours with one of his victims, one of these underage girls, in a trove of shocking new emails. And, of course, Elon Musk already called out the fact that, Trump was on the list with Epstein. And again, Epstein is Mossad. Mossad is Israel. Mossad is basically connecting, getting blackmail on all these different politicians and judges. It goes right back again. And then you wonder why there's anti-Semitism and anti-Jew sentiment now in the United States when everybody's starting to realize that this group of people has been doing a lot of this, including bribing people and having all these underage girls. And now Daily Mail just came out with it. I'm not linking this one to Jewish people, but they're saying that basically they're having hunting parties now over in Europe, and people are paying 70,000 euros to shoot innocent people in human safaris. This is Daily Mail.
They've been doing that for years.
But they've been doing that for years, especially with the Ninth Circle, Satanic Circle. Hunting trips to Sarajevo with extras to charge and kill children. This is unbelievable. Prosecutors in Milan have opened an investigation into Italian tourists who allegedly paid 70,000 euros to shoot innocent people in a human safari hunting trip to Sarajevo. The foreign guns enthusiasts were accused of traveling to the city for sniper tourism.
That's horrible. There's a sport in that.
During its four-year siege in the 1990s by Serb Bosnian militants above the Bosnian War.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read any more of this, but
that's horrible.
But we've had this kind of stuff been going on for a long, long time in different parts of the world, including Australia. So it's a really, really big mess when you start seeing all of this stuff. By the way, Urari AI raises $10.3 million to build the future of individual artificial intelligence. Now, this is interesting, Austin. They're building a clone of the individual. It's no longer an AI that's going to be tied into the Internet of Things. It's an AI of you. In other words, you are going to have yourself a Doppler. You're going to have the ability to talk to yourself and have another person who's a person who's basically been created in your image that's going to have your exact memories, your exact attitude, and everything else.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is. Does that mean that we're now moving closer to the Matrix?
Yeah.
In which our doppelganger or whatever you want to call him is running around doing things and we're basically a battery somewhere? I don't know. But this is Chris says that it says the AI's digital counterparts that harness a person's memories, stories, expertise, and voice that mirror how you think, speak, and make decisions. The round was led by Mayfield and Bolstart Ventures with participation from additional strategic investors. The capital will fuel hiring, expand platform capabilities, and prepare for product launch this year, bringing this individual AI technologies to consumers, creators, and professionals to scale their presence, grow audiences, and monetize their knowledge in ways never before possible. In other words, you have your AI come on the Ted and Awesome Rower show and do your show for you.
Yeah.
Now, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
In other words, is that Ted or is that Memorex? I mean, is that real or is that something we're just watching now?
Memorex.
Well, that's audio tape.
I know.
Just some lady. There was a commercial on years ago. It was Ella Fitzgerald. And she would, I dated myself. And she would come on and she would go so high on a note, on an octave, she'd shatter glass.
Oh, wow.
Okay? And then they would play the audio tape and it is shatter glass. And they said, is it live or is it Memorex? So is it live or is it the Ted Dawson Brewer show?
There you go.
Is it our AI doppelgangers here running around doing things?
AI doppelgangers. Well, no. That's,
it wasn't me. It was him.
It wasn't him. Yeah. Cool city of us. Well, then that's the problem you start having with all this stuff now with AI, what they're starting to do is it's going to be very, very difficult to figure out what's going to be real and what's going to be fake in the future. And that's one of the reasons why I think they're going that way with it, because they want to have the ability to control all the narratives that are happening.
How do you prosecute somebody?
That's exactly right. And then right now they're saying, there's a watermark on it. It's also, what happens in the next 5 to 10 years? There's no way to determine it anymore when it all looks real.
Well, what happens when the watermark is taken off by the same AI?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ted said this. Austin said this. No, that wasn't us.
What happens when the reverse? What happens when there's footage that we put out and they put a watermark on us? That's AI. It's fake news. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's been deemed AI fake now. We've deemed it AI fake. That's fake news. It's not real. And you're like, but that is real. That's real footage.
And you think about it for a second. All these young kids that are being exposed to all this filth now on the internet, and what's going to happen to their brains and their ability to actually think through things and how confused they're going to be when they're in a theta brainwave state and they're told that all these perversion things that they see on the internet are okay and they're all normal.
Yeah.
I mean, where's normalcy coming back?
Well, there is no normalcy anymore, and that's why you got to try to maintain it as long as possible in a child's life until they can at least reach a point where they can determine
normalcy bias. You want it all coming back,
yeah? So they can determine what's actually real, because when you reach that with kids, they have that point where they start emulating things they see very heavily. They start real thinking. I talked about it yesterday on the show. When they watch certain things, especially at a young age, when they're 4, 5, 6, they don't have the ability to filter anything out. It doesn't matter if they watch a commercial on TV or they see something in real life. They absorb those images and those topics and those viewpoints the same way. They don't realize that purple dinosaur on TV holding a Kellogg's box of cereal is trying to be advertisement and training them to want cereal. They actually think that dinosaur is their friend and they need to go eat the cereal because it's cool.
Well, when you see it like this, and I remember I have a friend of mine years ago. He had a couple of daughters, and one of them got involved in porn. The other one got involved in porn. They're like 10 and 12 years old, and it really messed these kids up. I mean, bad, really bad. And the parents were taking all the protocols they could possibly do to prevent it, but they were sneaking around behind their backs and basically getting the doggone passwords off the machines, hiding behind windows and everything else. I mean, sneaky little things. And the problem with it is the damage was pretty doggone bad for these kids. And the sad part about it is the parents end up having to send them to like a parochial school because the behavioral patterns got so skewed and messed up. The sad part is this: how many other parents don't have the ability to send these kids to parochial schools, and they're dealing with this stuff, and it affects these children the rest of their lives. That's why when the porn industry is controlled by these Sabbatean cabals, Lucifer, God, Satan, that it's difficult not to get mad at them because of what they do.
Well, the thing is, and here's the part that really irritates me is that these individuals like that rabbi that owns Pornhub and that complete piece
rabbi,
of
rabbi, he's supposed to be a priest.
He's a piece of trash, dude. I mean, he will pay for those sins in the afterlife, and they won't be pretty for him. God's already talked about this as far as with the kids. He knows what this does to society. Mm-hmm. He knows what this does to kids. He knows what this does as far as breaking down the fabric of marriages and families.
But remember,
but they do it anyway.
But remember, their talk, because their theology is so skewed, they're taught there is no heaven and hell.
Right.
That once you die,
they're the great. They think they're above everyone. They're superior.
Well, what they teach them to do is make as much money as you can, sit on the can, and give the can to the next generation.
Yep.
And then basically defraud everybody you possibly can defraud, take as much money as you can, subvert culture as much as you possibly can, because there is no afterlife in which you have to pay.
Right.
That's what they believe. And I remember one time I was on a cruise ship. Just back to a cruise ship again.
We
had a balcony. And there was a guy next to us. He's out there smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
And we started talking, and he's a pretty nice guy, and he told me he was Jewish, and we started talking about heaven and hell. He said, we don't believe in heaven and hell.
Right.
He told me that. He said, we don't believe in any of that stuff. We believe that when you leave, you leave. You're done, you're done. And he goes, and so if you have the idea that you have no moral
consequences.
That's right. Then you do whatever you want. If any moral thing you want to do, or immoral thing you want to do, and there's no right or wrong, and there's nobody to judge you. In fact, they think you're doing great when you act like that as far as their snake god. Then all of a sudden, it's like, why would you not do that?
Well, it's the same concept that we've watched happen now here in the United States, is a constitutional republic has to be based on morals and ethics.
That's the Constitution.
The republic is not designed to function with a full free-for-all society that has no morals or ethics or values.
It won't work.
It doesn't work. That's why the republic worked with a primarily predominantly Christian nation. not a Jewish nation, not a Muslim nation, a Christian nation. That's how a constitutional republic is designed to work.
And that's how we worked for the first 150 years until the Federal Reserve came in 1913.
Correct.
And then they came in and started subverting everything. In fact, things talking about the Fed, the war that made the Fed that made the war.
Wow.
In Veterans Day, originally called Armistice Day, to commemorate the end of World War One, 11th, 1918. In this regard, it's appropriate to discuss the war, and since it's an investment-oriented letter, we address how the U.S. Federal Reserve helped to finance World War One.
Whoa.
Okay. But that's how they made it. Below, we look at how the 1914-1918 conflict, which tens of millions were killed, reshaped America's system of national finance and laid foundations that eventually brought us to the current situation of $38 trillion in debt. Remember, in 1913, we had no debt.
Zero.
Okay, we were a surplus nation.
And we had no income tax.
In 1914, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan took us to war.
Yep.
Okay, and when they did that, we had to borrow money from them. It's called the Central Bank's War. Most people don't associate the Fed with World War One, but the institution played a crucial role in the event. Let's begin on Friday night, December 23rd, 1913, meaning Christmas Eve weekend, when few people except deep insiders are paying attention. President Woodrow Wilson, the syphilis-infected piece of garbage, worst president the United States ever had, signed the Federal Reserve Act into law. President Wilson signs Federal Reserve Act. To all intents and purposes, new entity was America's central bank, although the creditors didn't label it as such a central bank because of the aversion of what happened with President Andrew Jackson getting rid of the central bank. Later, as 1914 unfolded, the Fed stood up and began to work with the U.S. government system. Of course, played a role with national economy by design of its promoters. The Fed was intended to oversee the so-called elastic currency, not necessarily tethered to a fixed supply of gold in the vaults of American banks. That is, the idea behind the Fed was to avoid monetary disasters like the Panic of 1907, when the federal government literally ran out of cash and had to borrow gold from banker J.P. Morgan, Rothschild agent. The Fed's mission was to issue credit, a.k.a. create money from nothing,
yep,
in forms of dollars during tight times and ensure the general liquidity of the American economy. By the way, the bankers caused the 1907 panic. They did it on purpose.
Yeah.
And who knows, the idea might have worked out well, except for what happened later in 1914, in August to be exact, when Europe went to war on all fronts. The short version is that Austria invaded Serbia, Russia mobilized, Germany mobilized, France mobilized, Britain mobilized, and pretty soon almost every nation in Europe was fighting, to include combat across the globe from Africa to South America to the South Pacific. Just a few months later, by December the 14th, pretty much every nation involved in the European fight was at a near technical insolvency. Governments had blown up their respective treasuries and could no longer pay the bills. Meanwhile, in those few short months, the European war sparked a business rival in the United States. And what happened is, it was the Fed to the rescue. War, bond markets, global credit system all developed, and it was all pushed through by the Federal Reserve Bank, which started in 1913 because it wanted to enslave the people of the United States with debt. They continued to do this all the way up until the great crash of 1929, when they contracted the M1 money supply and seized family farms by the tens of thousands all over the United States and took homes away from people all over the United States. This is the same group of Kabbalah, Synagogue of Satan people that we talk about that run the pornography industry right now. They did this. And they always do this. They always try to come in and destroy. They come to rob, kill, steal, and destroy because their father is Lucifer, just like the Bible says in the book of John when Jesus called them out right before they crucified the Son of the Most High God.
Well, and their overall goal is always to control and absorb all assets. They don't care about cash because they know cash is, it's funny money. They print it.
They print it.
This is why they go in every time there's a recession. They go in and seize all these properties. There's a reason why BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard have exploded since the 2008 recession. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much own just about everything, or at least a portion of everything in the stock market. So they own over 85% of the S&P 500 now. This is why they come in and own. Every time I make a joke about it, it's funny, but it's not funny. Every time there's a company that has something going on, I go up and look at StockZoa, where's the top shareholders. And 99% of the time, it's always the top three.
We showed that yesterday.
And they usually, those three, because they have circular ownership, combined together, they usually own between 20 to 30 to 40% of every company.
Now, stay with me for a second, everybody. Right after this, Smedley Butler wrote the book, War is a Racket.
Yep.
He was two-time Medal of Honor recipient, two times General Smedley Butler. And he wrote a whole book that everybody needs to read on what war is a racket. And then what happened is they tried to hire him in the early 30s when Roosevelt was president to stage a coup d'etat. Prescott Bush did this, by the way, the father of H. Bush, actually tried to hire Smedley Butler to come in and overthrow the government of the United States. Go look, guys, go look it up. And when that happened, basically Bush was charged with trading with the enemies act. All of this stuff happened in the 20s and the 30s when they were fighting for control of the United States on who would control the monetary supply. Never forget that. And when we realize what's going on here with these bankers, when you control the money, you control the world, period. Yeah. And that's why they did this, because they believe that they're a separate DNA from us, according to their teachings through the Zohar, and that they believe they have a right to have slaves and run the world and own the world, and that they have a right to completely control everything, because they're operating through their father, the snake god, Ein Sof, and they believe they can do whatever they want to do, and the ends always justifies the means. That's why it's the porn industry destroying the hearts of the minds of the people, because they want it back to Genesis chapter 6. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return, and that's what they want, Austin.
Well, it's the same, those same guys own the pharmaceutical companies. They own Big Agra, and that's why not just the hearts and minds, they want to control the body. They want to control the immune system. That's why they tried to come up when they came out with this COVID-19 shot. They want to control everybody's energy levels. You keep everybody dumbed down, stupid, passive,
and sick.
Basically sick. Very few people ask questions. I keep looking at the camera.
Well, we may be actually filming. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're running. I made a joke. I keep looking at the cameras over here. Here's another article of switching gears about health. So we're talking about that now. Omega-3s in new research study showed a risk heart disease in people with high blood pressure. This is another positive study. It says about half the U.S. adults now have high blood pressure. I've talked many times on the show how you can work on with that. Here's another study published in Clinical Nutrition found that high intake of omega-3 fatty acids among nearly 27,000 adults with hypertension was linked to a lower risk of death from both cardiovascular disease and all causes. Participants with greater omega-3 consumption had a 32% to 47% lower risk of heart-related mortality. That's a big drop.
It's huge.
Especially with taking omega-3 fats. They said the omega-3 supports heart health by improving blood flow, antioxidant stress, lowering triglycerides, and helping blood pressure and arterial damage.
I tell you, 3 capsules every night.
Oh, absolutely. The cod is in – the omega-3 fats are crucial. And, I mean, and you can get them from multiple sources in your food as well, but I always add the fish oil in. Eggs, organic free-range eggs, are incredible as far as for omega-3 fats. That's why I usually eat between 4 to 8 eggs every single day. And my cholesterol is amazing. Also, avocados, avocado oil, real avocados. Those are loaded with omega-3 fats, and they're great for you. You could also look at walnuts. You could also look at pecans. And the only thing you got to worry about, and this everybody runs into this once you figure out long enough, the nuts are great. The problem is you got to be careful how many you eat, because they'll start packing weight on you.
Oh,
they do, because you'll start having a handful, and they're so good. You know, some cashews or something like that. And you start eating them. Well, all of a sudden, you realize you eat like half a bag. Like, gosh, it was like 400 calories in walnuts.
The other day, I got some pine nuts. I started eating for 2 or 3 days. Man, I was up a pound. I said, I might gain a pound off of pine nuts. This is awful. I put them back in the freezer.
You got to be careful with those, but obviously in the right amounts. But also, too, wild caught salmon. Don't eat the farm raised salmon.
No, never.
It's nasty stuff. Mm-hmm. There's been too much research that's gone on it. And that's got also, too, omega-3s also are in good, high quality, free range cattle and bison. You can also eat that as well. But right here, and then on top of that, through the omega-3s, we have the ultimate omega on the site, which is really high in DHA. That's the one we specifically use for people that are trying to get their DHA levels up, and also pregnant women. And also the Norwegian omega-3 is a standard one. We have the old-fashioned cod. We got the cinnamon cod. We have a plethora of omega-3 fats. So if you need any help trying to pick one of those out or want to try them, call us up at Health Masters. But the effects of omega-3 consumption on people as far as that have hypertension massively reduced a lot of health problems. And then people that are healthy really increases all types of health in the body. And also
Also increases testosterone, by the way.
Omega-3s are fat, crucial for testosterone. And also mental health. You'll find a lot of times if you're running into an issue as far as you just feel a little down, or you're not running good, or you're not firing all cylinders, throw a high dose of omega-3 fats in with some B-complex and some 5-HTP.
That's right. I use it all the time.
That right there is a ultimate, basic, simplistic stack that will get you back in gear, back in the game, and back focus again if you're just having one of those days. So I want to cover that with omega-3 fats. So yet another study again comes out. It shows that high intake of omega-3 fats does nothing but help your body, help your heart, and help your brain out.
By the way, you've been cooking your chicken wrong your entire life, Austin.
Have I? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
And it's putting your health at risk, according to this article.
What did I do now?
Oh, here it is. You guys ready? Health officials are warning that washing your chicken and other poultry may spread deadly bacteria throughout your kitchen.
Really?
Well, there you go. Social media and old wives' tales have long perpetuated the idea that washing chicken is essential for cleaning off contaminants and eliminating bacteria. But this week, the Food Safety Information Council issued a warning against rinsing raw chicken before cooking it. The agency says the idea that poultry should be washed before cooking is a myth and actually sparks food safety concern. The agency's recent research estimates over half the adults who cook a whole raw chicken wash it before sticking it in the oven. In the U.S., recent surveys found that as many as 70% of Americans admit to washing their chickens. This is a funny article.
It's kind of funny.
Experts believe the practice causes bacteria and other contaminants to bounce off the chicken and splash onto your countertops and other food surfaces. Wow. Think about this for a second. It says about 1 in 25 packages of raw chicken in the U.S. contains salmonella. I did not know that.
That's actually a higher number than I thought.
Potentially deadly type of bacteria that leads to bloody diarrhea, cramps, and vomiting. They sickened 1 million Americans, hospitalizing 26,000 and killing 420 every year. While most cases are asymptomatic or mild, at risk are children, etc., raw poultry can harbor also E. coli, listeria, and other types of bacteria, and E. coli has been linked to over 265,000 illnesses in the U.S. every year. And so what they're saying is that when you wash your chicken, 60% of the bacteria is left in the sink afterwards. And if you have other things in the sink, including other dishes, they may get contaminated with this. So it's recommending that you don't wash your chicken before you cook it. This is why in the processing plants and a lot of times the major, grocery stores have been accused of using bleach when they wash their chickens. Now you think, well, that's awful. I'm not saying it's not awful.
Bleach kills everything.
Bleach kills everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so if you're going to do this, do I recommend that you use bleach when you wash your chicken? I don't know what you want to do.
No, I don't know about doing that. I do know some of the processing places. After they do everything, they'll hose everything down with bleach.
Yeah.
Everything gets loaded down with
bleach. Because of this very reason.
Because that very reason on there. So
if you're going to do this and you're going to wash your chickens, here's what I suggest. Don't put it under water that's going to be splashing everywhere.
Yeah.
And number two, rinse your sink out with some bleach after you get done. You can do that, not get it on the food.
That's true.
But that bleach, that smells terrible.
Yeah, no, it does. But it kills everything.
Next thing you know, they'll be putting the chickens in a dishwasher.
Maybe my chicken breast is ready to cook now. It's been run through the dishwasher. It's horrible.
Don't put your chickens in dishwasher.
No, that was a joke.
That was a joke.
This is interesting. Researchers are now eyeing N-acetylcysteine. NAC.
Love that product.
As a potential natural treatment for psychiatric conditions like depression.
Whoa. Now, I've not heard this one.
I have not either. This is interesting. NAC, which is a supplement form of amino acid cysteine, plays an important role in the body's detoxification process. I've talked about this in detail as far as how important NAC is, what it does for detoxing the liver, what it does for detoxing the body, how it mitigates the side effects of many drugs, including acetaminophen, which I don't recommend you take. That's brand name Tylenol. But remember, NAC, even in hospitals, is the number one product they use for liver overdose with Tylenol. That it can actually reduce liver damage.
Oh, now a new study just came out that says Tylenol does not cause autism.
Oh, of course now.
Huh?
Well, I'm sure.
You got to do damage control.
I'm sure whoever originally got Tylenol on the market's going, you guys, we got to do some rebuttal to this. Something out.
But I will say this, it's not the primary cause.
No, it does. It is bad, though, especially for infants.
Well, Tylenol's unbelievably poisonous. Like I said, it shouldn't be on the market.
It says NAC's detoxifying effects. Research has begun to explore the potential for NAC for treating addictive behavior and psychiatric disorders and also depression. Australian and Brazilian researchers analyzed placebo-controlled studies on the use of NAC as a standalone treatment for people with depression, bipolar, and other psychiatric disorders.
Never heard this before.
The researchers found that NAC alleviates depression symptoms in some cases and improves functionality and has tolerability. They said a 2014 study that they looked back at, people with clinical depression volunteered who took take NAC along with their usual antidepressants had greater improvements when they took that along without taking, who took that without a placebo, and a placebo, this is really written poorly, with their antidepressant medication, meaning those who took NAC with their pharmaceutical antidepressants had much better results than those who just took antidepressants without NAC or placebo.
I don't know why people can't read their articles after they write it.
I'm trying to read. The thing is, when you read it out loud, it's always the acid test. Mm-hmm. You read a paper. You ever learn this? You taught me this in college. You'll write a paper, and you'll read it 20 times in your head, and you're like, oh, this is a bombshell. This is a blockbuster. And then all of a sudden, you pull it out, and you say, Austin, all right, read it to me. And I'm reading it. It's like, chop, chop, chop. You're like, sounds horrible, Austin. You got to rewrite it. I'm like, it sounded way better in my head. Why does it sound horrible now?
That's how I taught Harrison. I taught all you guys how to write like that.
That is a huge, huge cheat. Just a hack, I guess you could say, that a lot of people don't realize. When you write a paper, read it out loud and see how it flows if you're reading it.
Well, you know, some of the stuff is so bad, I can't. Well, you couldn't get through the paper right now.
No, that's why I had to fix it. It says the optimal dose of NAC is yet to be established, though many researchers recommend 600 to 1,800 milligrams of NAC a day.
But it is a blood thinner, though.
And it can be a blood thinner. It says a supplement can be administered orally, and it says keep in mind that people with bleeding disorders or taking blood thinning medication should avoid taking NAC.
That's correct.
Can't slow down blood clot.
And if you're taking blood thinner medication like Coumadin, you know, rat poison, you really don't need to be taking NAC.
Yeah, and you also have to watch vitamin E.
Yeah, vitamin E will do it, too.
Vitamin E.
Oh, by the way, Republicans are now sounding the alarm over the Latino vote. This is our wake-up call. Well, you know, when you bring in 20 million Latinos illegally.
4 years.
You know, 4 years. That's what Trump said that Biden had done. Republicans are reeling over an apparent erosion of support from Latino voters, a voting bloc that boosted the party in 2024. Well, of course, when you start deporting all the Latinos, you have a
sense. And now, remember, a lot of their funding's getting cut now with all this free money they were getting. Now they're saying, well, you brought us here. You told us to come here. You've been giving us $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month. Now this funding's getting cut. We want our money now. That's the problem when you make people entitled, man.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, Zig Ziglar said it one time. He said it this way. He goes, you give somebody a cherry pie, and you give them a cherry pie every week for a year, and pretty soon they're like, we're tired of the cherry pie, because you give us an apple pie.
Yeah.
Now, the pie is free.
Right.
But now they start telling you what kind of pies
they want.
Okay? The same thing is true. You give them a $6,000 subsidy, like we talked about, per month, and there's five people living in a house, and they're making $30,000 a month.
Per household.
They're sending all this back to third world countries.
Yep.
You're like, well, we don't want to give you the $6,000 a month now. What do you mean? How do you expect us to live?
Yep.
You know, we have to have our $30,000 a month.
Yeah, we're making $350,000 a year household income.
Yeah, we're sending it all back to our third world countries.
And remember, when they get those checks, buddy, they're tax free.
Mm-hmm.
All the Social Security checks, the Medicaid checks, all that stuff.
Well, you know, the crazy part about it is, and I've seen this now because I know a lot of people that are from third world countries. They always want to work here and send money back there.
I've noticed that too.
They're very family oriented.
And I don't have any problem with that if you're doing it legally, but when it makes it a lot harder when you're paying 20-30% income tax paying Medicaid and paying Social Security and paying your bills. All of a sudden, it's not that easy when you're getting checks from the U.S. government, from the Treasury every month for free.
Mm-hmm.
Why give them money? I don't care.
I met this lady who basically was from Brazil, and she was an au pair. She came over as an au pair and decided not to leave. So she's here illegally.
Yeah.
Well, she was making, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a month or whatever. She's doing all kinds of other things, you know, being an au pair, doing all kinds of things, running, you know, Uber, running all kinds of stuff, probably about $3,000 a month. And she was sending half her money back to Brazil because she said the currency is a 6-to-1 spread. So she said she sent $1,000 back to Brazil to her parents, who don't want to work, by the way. They don't want to work. They get $6,000 of the Brazilian dollars every month. And she felt she was obligated to do that for their entire lives because they don't want to work. Now, there's a twisted thing there that I don't understand, but I've seen that repeatedly, and I don't understand why that culture is like that, why they want to support a parent who's 50 years old, who basically doesn't want to work, wants to lay around the house all day, because they sent their daughter or their son or somebody else in their family to the United States in order to support them while they're in their country, and they play golf every day. I don't understand any of that. Or whatever they do. What are you doing in your spare time? I read books? I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. But that's a cultural thing. The Hispanics, in many cases, really feel as though they're obligated to support their family in a third world country because they were the ones who got here. Whether they got here legally or correctly, they want to sit here and support their family.
Again, like I said, I don't have a problem with that, but you could just do it on your own dime after you pay taxes like everybody else does. If you want to do that, you want to pay your taxes, your Social Security, your Medicaid, and get taxed to oblivion like everybody else does, that's fine. Send your money back. But when you're getting money here for free and subsidies and Social Security, I just had a conversation with Dexter just the other day. He had two guys. They came on the line crew, completely legal. They knew they were legal, but he said, listen, if you guys want us to hire you, you're licensed on this somehow. He goes, we need you guys on the ground crew. They're basically doing ground, so like digging holes with the line guys. I said, we need Social Security numbers. Okay, got Social Security cards. Boop. Ran it off.
Wow.
2 weeks, they came back. Hey, guys, those Social Security numbers are bad. They do not exist. Oh.
There's two more.
Day later, two more. Oh, those work. Those legit. Boom. They put them on the line crew. I'm not going to give anybody's name or anybody as far as it works with these companies. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But he said what's happened is, and he said he talked to him. He said there's a whole network. They go in. They just put numbers in. The ones that are dead, deceased, they just run them through. And they run them through a cycle. And then once they come through and they catch one that works, boom. And then they go into these underground companies, so to speak, to have this set up. And they start applying for every single federal subsidy known to man in the United States under that Social Security number. Retiree stuff, benefits for this, Social Security, Medicaid, food stamps, everything. And they see what hits. It's literally a crapshoot. It's what they're doing. They're throwing dice on it and they're seeing what hits. And once it hits, because there's no downside. If it gets denied, it gets denied.
You know, I remember we did a show, a story on a black guy that was doing that. He was bringing about $10,000 to $15,000 a month.
Yeah.
Doing that. With somebody else's Social Security.
Somebody's right. So it's somebody else's Social Security number. So there's no real tie back to you as far as consequences.
Oh, excuse me, I'm gonna get a letter on that. Okay, he was black. If he was white, I'd have said he's a white guy who did it. I specifically wanted to use the word black because I wanted to describe who he was, but it could have been a white guy. Don't send me letters. It could have been a Hispanic guy. It could have been a black guy. It could have been a white guy. It
could have been a German guy.
It could have been a German guy. Stop with that stuff when I say that. Don't get all bent out of shape about that. It doesn't make any difference.
But no, but he said flat out, and because it's gotten so loose and there's so much cash flowing in with all these agency just nonsense now, and this is what a lot of the Republicans want to do.
Remember, FDR did this. That was part of Cloward and Piven.
Yep.
That was even before Cloward and Piven existed. That's part of the infrastructure destruction that they're doing of the Republic. If you didn't have all of this stuff, it wouldn't have all these loopholes and all these people bringing all this fraudulent
money.
Remember,
this is $1.5 trillion, whatever the Democrats wanted to keep funding all this stuff. Mm-hmm. This is all on borrowed money. It's all on borrowed money.
It's all credit cards.
The Social Security is completely and totally bankrupt. That whole thing has been a piggy bank that got depleted years ago. That's why it sucks for a lot of the younger generation. That's why a lot of us have gotten so irritated. You know you're not going to get a penny out of the money they're stealing from you.
Met this one lady a year ago, and she basically had come over from Colombia.
Yeah.
Her husband had sponsored her and brought her in. Well, then she sponsored, after she got her citizenship, she sponsored her mother, her father, and her five brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
They all came to the United States and were doing this.
Yeah.
And then her husband was having to support all of them because none of them would work.
Yeah.
Finally, they were married for 12 years. Finally, the husband goes, we can't even go on a vacation. We can't do anything. I'm supporting your entire family who don't want to work. And finally, he divorced her. Okay, and then all of a sudden, all of them got jobs. And then three of them got jobs.
And three of them
moved to France.
Yeah.
Because of their social welfare system. So they get free money over there because they didn't want to work.
Well, that's why they didn't look at France how it is now.
No.
I saw a raw video the other day, a raw video of a tourist over there. They were recording what it looks like over in France.
That was horrible. Paris is horrible.
I'm not saying this as a demographic standpoint. It looked like Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There's just trash everywhere. All the infrastructure's crumbling over there. Everybody's sleeping on the streets with mattresses.
No.
It's like it's not a first world country anymore.
No.
It's not the first.
But it's a socialist country.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the crazy part about it is that, you know, this lady then now she's supporting her mom. Nobody else will help with the mom because everybody else is on welfare. And so she's having to work midnight to 8 o'clock shift every night in order to her mom who doesn't want to work. The Bible says it kind of clear. It said, if you don't want to work, you don't need to eat. I'm paraphrasing.
But, you know, the odd part, then you find this anomaly, though. I guess it's just an anomaly. Because I remember, like, when I built my house and I had a detached shop that I built onto it back right before COVID hit. I skated in the skin of my teeth on that one. I had a crew that I worked with. They were really good. They were from Venezuela. And they'd be on my job site because I was my own contractor. I pulled my own subs. They came at like 6, 7 a.m. and they wouldn't leave till 6, 7 p.m. And I mean, the guys didn't stop. They were straight machines. And they were great guys. They did great work. If there was a problem, they said, oh, we'll fix this. And they did really good work for me. And it was, it's a weird though, because you get some aspects of like that that people want to work.
Some of the Hispanics are the hardest workers I've
ever seen.
That's what
I'm saying. I've never, the crews that I dealt with, the white guys on the crews were nightmares. Mm-hmm. I remember the guy that ran the sheetrock crew, he was a white guy, and he was complete, just lowlife.
He was.
Fought with him the whole time. And then I get these Venezuelan guys on the crew, and they just absolutely run through everything.
I remember that white guy. That white guy was such a jerk. I mean, we had the sheetrock behind your stairwell in a closet, and he didn't do it.
He didn't do it. He left the raw frame.
And he says to me, he goes, well, I don't know how to do that. We can't get a ladder up behind the stairwell. And I'm like, you could use concrete blocks, or, because I used to hang sheetrock, or you could use
a
bucket.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I don't need to have you tell me how to do this. And I said, then why did you say you couldn't do it?
Yeah.
But
that's my point. All he did was complain and make excuses. And then I get the Venezuela crew in there, and George's like, done. I was like, I would need to, let's go ahead. I did like 5 change orders with him, and he's like, done. I'll grab the material.
Never charge for one.
Done. Well, he wasn't charging the change orders, but he just, it's extra material. Here's a receipt.
Okay. Oh, by the way, here's the 2 Thessalonians 3:10, in case you think I made this stuff up. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Whoa. Here's another one. If any will not work, neither let him eat. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Now, there's all the different versions. It says the same thing. You basically need to eat. And you need to work so you can eat. And so why we think we don't, this is a biblical principle, by the way, and why in the world do we think that we should support people who don't want to work? Now, mind you, I'm going to stop for 1 second. If a person is physically infirm, they're a quadriplegic or a paraplegic, or they're really, really sick, okay, I got it. We have room for that. Let the churches help if they have to with that. They need to be helping instead of buying 27 mansions. Oh, God, I can't believe I said that. But they need to be helping with the people to eat who can't work.
Some of the widows, too, that have kids.
That's right. They need to be helped. But when you have people that are full human,
fully mobile,
and all they want to do is sit around and watch TV or play video games every day and get free checks from the government based upon your tax dollar, my tax dollars, it ain't cool.
No bueno.
No.
No, that's spot on with it. And that's the thing that I was looking at the other day, and that's why I think, like, you brought like Nick Fuentes and all these guys that are bringing this stuff out, is they're saying a lot of stuff. Grant, I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with everything everybody says, but when a lot of these guys are saying stuff that everybody's thinking, but they're finally saying, and everybody's going, wait a minute, we're in a country that has the very First Amendment is our ability to speak freely. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's offensive. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't matter if it pisses you off. You have a right to say how you feel. And so what's happened is now we've slowly reached this point in society where people are starting to self-censor. And I talked about it with Doug Hagman. They're self-censoring for fear of reprisal. And it's reaching a point where nobody can even say even the basic topics that are happening.
When you talk about the Lavender AI program out of Israel, man, you got hit for that.
Oh, I got blasted. I got email after email. You can't talk about Israel like that. That's not accurate. I said, dude, these are IDF soldiers that are coming out that are sick of what's going on over there. And they're bringing this up. They're being interviewed on this topic. No, it's Israel. They have every right to do what they want. I said, Israel has every right to put AI systems in their drone pilot program to do directed airstrikes and have 100 civilian casualties per one Hamas individual they kill. That's okay. I said, if you think that's okay, that's your right as well. But it's also my right to talk about this and let the rest of the population make their own decision on it and decide, is that really a country we want to keep sending tens of billions of dollars to?
You know, Chuck Baldwin said it so succinctly. He goes, we're supposed to be blessed when we support Israel. How we've been blessed since Israel became a nation. Now we have crime rampant, homosexuality rampant, lesbians rampant.
How are we supposed to be?
School systems collapse.
How is God supposed to bless you if you're financially supporting genocide of Christians? Ooh, that's a hard one to choke down, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're not supposed to ask that question. Oh, but it's not genocide because, you know, well, it's Israel doing it, so it's not genocide. How is it that every – and, you know, there was that interview the other day. Somebody brought it up. They said, you know, if you say anything, it's the Chinese Communist Party. It's not allowed. They arrest you. You say something like Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Say anything about the Soviet Union was going on. You couldn't talk about the Nazi Party. Anytime you talk about those parties – they would stop you, they'd censor you, they'd arrest you, they'd shut you up. Who's the one topic you can't bring up in the United States right now? You know the answer. You talk about Trump.
Ask Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, exactly. You can talk about Trump, you talk about Biden, you talk about the Democrats, you talk about the public, you talk about all day long. You talk about the one country in the Middle East you're not supposed to.
Charlie,
you are absolutely shut down immediately.
Third rail where all the power goes through on the subways. You don't touch the third rail.
Yeah.
And that's the third rail of our politics.
Yeah.
that nobody wants to discuss.
And that Charlie Kirk touched the third rail.
That's exactly what happened. And now you got, and I'm not going to get into the whole controversial thing that's been going on with his wife and all the strange things that's occurred with that now.
He met in Israel, by the way.
Yeah, he met in Israel. By the way, she was also on a dating TV show now back in the past, and she was in a country music video years back, and all this stuff that her parents were involved in. You can look that up. Very, very odd coincidences, all the way to the fact that her dad worked with Raytheon, like contractor Raytheon, in detail in a whole bunch of pilot programs. So that whole thing is very strange to me. Unfortunately, he was a great man who brought the truth out. He was a great man of God. All he did was talk about biblical principles, and man, that boy could spit out some verses. I mean, he knew the Bible up and down, left and right. And you know what? I guess you could say the powers that deem it so, that hate Jesus Christ, didn't want him speaking about the power of Jesus on college campuses any longer. And they made a point out of it.
That's why Mossad killed him. Yeah. Oh, by the way, DEI for owls. Nearly 500,000 birds would be killed across the West to protect another type of owl species. They're killing
owls. We're going to have to get into that tomorrow. I got to learn more about that one. That makes a lot of sense.
Hey, love you guys. Appreciate you. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for listening to us. Sorry about the video today. We'll get it fixed this afternoon. And we appreciate you so much. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, we love you. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your support.
Be sure to check out the sales online, the product of the week. That's the collagen. It's going to pop up later on today. Be sure to check out some of the other protocol kits that are putting together, including the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit, the Spike Protein Survival Kit, and the one and only Immune System Support Kit. That's really, really important to stay on coming into the fall. Have a blessed evening, my friends. You guys stay strong. We'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.